It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here. Good to see my friend and my co-host, Mike Ward.
Glad to be here.
And
always.
It's countdown to turkey time.
It is, but it's just right around the corner.
Yeah, lots to talk about with that. You have turkey banquets coming up. It's turkey banquet season, even before and after turkey season. We've got banquets.
The Mobile Bay Strutters is next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock at Moe's Barbecue downtown.
Yeah, and if you can't, the nice thing about the number of turkey federation chapters we got, you can probably find one that works for you. You can do that one, or if you want to travel a little bit, there's plenty of them going on out there. And then even like the West Mobile Golden Spurs is actually after turkey season.
That's right.
It's like the day turkey season ends or somewhere in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that more coming up. Speaking of which, we always talk about joining Turkey Federation for a lot of things. And we talk about the seed discounts. Also, your members like sitting in my office right here at FM Talk 106.5. I got my chufa already in.
Right.
So I got that going.
Through the program.
Right. So you get a subsidy on that. Makes it a little bit cheaper to buy the seed.
Yeah.
Of course, Turkey Federation, if you're listening at the home office, can we also get a subsidy on the lime and fertilizer?
I wouldn't want to be planting right now.
Or any pre-emergent or anything we have to put in there. So if y'all could help us with those, it'd be great. But no, just another reason to get signed up for the turkey, even if you don't go to a banquet, which is the most fun way to do it, but get signed up to be a member of National Wild Turkey Federation because there's discounts. I also got, not on my chufa, I got some different seed mixes because, I have burned longleaf and I'm trying to get, I'm hoping the seed bank, over time is producing more forbs and stuff that's supposed to be there. But they sell these little mixes that kind of help you get some of those. And you talking about buying something expensive? Try to buy some native plants.
Sean, everything.
Seeds for like a partridge pea.
Yeah.
Or ragweed or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll take all the discount I can get.
It's all expensive. But the other thing about the National Wild Turkey Federation is the soybeans and the corn that you can buy now.
Yeah.
The chufas, you save a little bit, but it's not night and day. But sometimes the soybean and the corn that you can buy and the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Wheat
So this time of year, you get the deals on soybeans and corn.
Right.
And sorghum.
Yes.
Which is actually, sorghum's a pretty good, we're going to talk some turkeys on today's show. I buried the lead. By the way, joining us here in just a little bit, our friend Eddie Salter, talk some turkey with that man. But sorghum it can be a pretty good, deer use it. I like it for quail cover, but turkeys use it too. They brood in it. They, underneath it, they go in it. Plus, as it falls down, the seed heads make feed. So it's
good for everything.
Right. And it's for me, it has been easier to grow with less input cost. It's pretty drought tolerant too. Compared to a corn or soybean.
Yes.
You get a good deal on the corn and soybeans and do that. Take advantage of it when you're a member. But if you're looking like, man, I don't have time to do corn, you can do, if you got plots on your lease or whatever that you want to have like some kind of something structure-wise during the summertime to help those turkey poults and all that, it's pretty good thing to do.
It's excellent.
You don't have to baby it as much as like a corn or soybean.
That's right. So. Yeah. But the prices on the soybeans and the corn that you can get through National Wild Turkey Federation,
it's huge. Because if you're looking at Roundup Ready discount. Corn, and I don't even know what right now a bag because it changes year to year, but Roundup Ready corn is very expensive.
It's $200-something a bag.
Yeah, and it's much less. I don't know what
I don't know either, but let's just say it's $50.
Yeah.
And it could be a little more, a little less,
I think
whatever.
It's less, but I don't know this year's price.
But whatever. Yeah, $200-something versus $50, whatever it is. It's a big difference. And that's on the corn.
Mm-hmm. And you also get the soybeans too. You get a good deal.
Yeah, that's right.
So you got that going. So most fun is to go out to a banquet, get signed up there and do all that. But if you don't, for some reason, go to their website and get signed up.
That's right. And that's next Wednesday night. It's the 18th, I believe. And that's at Moe's Barbecue downtown.
Okay, yeah, and tell you what, we come back from the break. I can tell you, if you go to nwtf.com, If you go there, it'll give you a list. You can see local events and all that, and you can find it there. So check it out there. Yeah. All right.
It is the 18th. I'm looking
there. There you go. So the 18th.
Yes.
Be there or be square.
Yep. I'll be there.
Of course you will, because you're one of the foundations of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been there the whole time. Other things, head into so turkey's seasons. So we'll have another week this weekend, next weekend, and then that next following week it starts.
A lot of people are, let's see, it opens up the 15th, I think. Is it this weekend or
what?
Today? Mississippi.
Yeah, they probably did. Yeah, I think Mississippi might open today.
I think it's open today or either Sunday, maybe. I think maybe the 15th, I believe. So it's either this weekend or Monday.
Yeah, I'll tell you
so
right
a lot
now.
Of people are going to Mississippi to hunt that I know of.
Yeah, it's so it's the 14th.
Okay,
so yeah, it so it's today.
Today.
Yeah, yeah, so there you go. So they run the 14th through May 3rd.
Yeah, that's right, because last weekend was Mississippi youth season.
The Utes?
The Utes.
So I'm still waiting on my invitation from somebody in Mississippi for me to come hunt their turkeys.
Well, I'm waiting too.
Yeah, so Mike and I are both waiting for that one. Obviously, I've put stuff out recently on social media. Turkeys have been doing turkey stuff. We hear gobbles sometimes in January, but the way they're following the hens, and it's happening.
Yeah. Well, you live with them.
Yeah, I do live
you
with them.
You see them?
Yeah.
Every day?
Yep.
Are you listening in the morning?
Yeah. They're, so and in hear? The evening. There's gobbling. Here's my problem in the mornings. Honestly, by the time I get up and get rolling, and now with the time change, there's only so much time between daylight, and then I got to get a shower and go to work.
Right.
Yeah, that's my problem there. The time change, which, by the way, side discussion. I love daylight saving time. I love to be able to go home and have light in the evening.
Me too, Sean.
But the only selling point on standard time, and remember it was during the Bush administration, I think, that they moved the date to go to daylight saving time earlier. Remember when it would go through first couple weeks of turkey season and it would be daylight at 5:30?
Yeah.
And I could go out and turkey hunt and have a hunt, either kill one or not kill, have a good hunt. And be at work like nothing, like I hadn't done anything then. Like I didn't feel like I was at work. Everybody's fine. They don't realize I had been turkey hunting that morning.
Well, now I like it like it is. I understand. There's a lot of people. I mean, I've had friends that they turkey hunt every morning. You know, I don't know unless it's a hurricane or something. They hunt every morning and they love that, so they can go to work. You know.
Yeah. But I mean, you can still do it and get to work. You're just getting work to late. Those days when it used to be, it'd be like daylight, fly down at 5:30, 5:40. I mean, it's 7 o'clock. You've had a hunt, and you show up at work at 8. You know, the boss doesn't know that, you've been out turkey hunting.
Yeah. Well, so, I like it like it is right now. I like the time that we're in right now.
So, so you're asking, it started with, I hear some gobbling in the mornings. I've heard gobbling afternoons at 5. Yeah. So, they're gobbling.
Yeah, which I knew. I mean, they've been gobbling since January.
Yeah.
So, when you get into February, they really starting to rock and roll. When you get the 1st of March, and now we're in the middle of March, they doing their thing.
Yep. So, and I actually heard somebody the other day, I heard that this last week, somebody had, this would have been in North Washington, I think North Washington or Choctaw County, I forget which one, had walked up on a hen on a nest already.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. How about that?
Had 8 eggs in there. So, and so that means it had started before because, they lay an egg, they come back,
I've always thought that, Sean. There's also hens.
This is what I like get to. Everything's like a bell curve, right? It's like rut or whatever. That's an anomaly to have it that early. But then there'll also be a hen sitting on a nest in June.
Or July.
I've seen
them in July.
So that's what I'm saying. It can happen over, we'll talk about peak brooding and all that, peak nesting and all that, and talk about April, but some get started earlier, some go later.
Right.
So, and knowing that hens who lose a nest can re-nest, so you can see them later in the year. That's what I'm just, it really cool thing, say, I went already on nest, but you can also say, like you just said, cool thing, there's one nesting in July.
That's right.
So,
yeah,
they're kind of a wider range on that. So, turkeys are doing it on my place, and I've been hearing good reports from elsewhere. I know those down – watching some of the people down in Florida, where I went Osceola hunting before, they've had a bang-up start down there.
Yeah. So, yeah. Have you talked to any of your guys that's hunting where you hunted?
No, I have not. I've not talked to them, but I've talked to – watching people down in that area.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just – it's a world away, but it's just – that Osceola hunting was fun.
Yeah.
And another thing we're going to do, hopefully by next week, get him on the show. Good friend of mine, a guy you know, he went down for his – he finished his World Slam, okay? And he just needed the oscillated turkey.
And I'll show you. The oscillated turkey, okay. Not of course, the Osceola, the oscillated.
No. Yeah, so he had everything else. He had, you know, he had even Goulds.
Yeah.
He just lacked the oscillated down the Yucatan of Mexico, which I gave him grief. I'm like, oh, you pick a heck of a time to go to Mexico. It was a buddy of mine. I said, you pick a heck of a time to go to Mexico. You know, there's a drug war going down there. He said, well, the guides say everything's fine where they are. I said, I'm sure they do because it's business. They didn't have any problems. Had a great hunt.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're going to get him on the show to talk about getting that trip booked, traveling down there, where you stay, how they hunted them. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And success?
They both had success.
I think there were five of them on the trip.
Oh, okay.
Five of them on the trip, and they all killed. But I tell you what, it's like, it's not that I've not been interested in oscillateds in the past, but just looking at his pictures and all that, those are darn most beautiful turkeys I have ever
seen.
They're
different.
It's like a parrot and a turkey got together and made them.
Well, if you'll book it, I'll go with you.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that, and we'll
be a done deal.
And we'll talk to this guy next week and get us a. Go ahead. When we come back, we're going to talk to our friend Eddie Salter. Who all knows what's going to come out of this conversation?
A gobble and a yip, I can tell you.
Turkey Man's joining us coming up next. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have y'all along. And let us check in. As we mentioned, the countdown around here till turkey season. So, I don't know, the big hand or the little hand on the clock is our buddy Eddie Salter, the Turkey Man. Check it in with us. Hey, Eddie. Eddie, are you with us? You got him? We got him?
I'm right here with you. Yes, sir.
All right. So, we're counting down the days. Mike and I have been just talking turkeys at this point. Yeah, what is the travel schedule for Eddie Salter for turkey season 2026?
Well, right now, you know, today I'm getting ready to leave to go to Florida to hunt with my grandson. He's 7 years old, and he's already gone killed. Actually, he's gone killed four turkeys, but we're going back to one of his favorite places down there. He's killed turkeys 2 years in a row, and hey, I'm looking forward. I mean, turkey season is here.
I guarantee you.
I can't wait.
So he's already killed four this year?
No.
Oh, no, he's killed four in his life. Okay, yes.
He's 7 years old, and he's killed four already together, all the years right there.
Well, there's nothing like hunting with your grandson. I know personally it is a blast. So I know you're
looking forward to
it.
Getting in the woods with him, you know, for this season here. Just watch the excitement. And, you know, that's one good thing about Alabama also. It gives us an opportunity – I think it's around the 20th of March to take some kids out there, get them, you know, get these kids involved in the great sport of hunting. And man, I tell you, you know, Mike, back when me and you were coming up, it would have been a dream come true if we could have had an opportunity to go hunting before the big boys did. And
oh, absolutely!
Have a chance to kill one, and you know, it was tough on us.
Yeah, well, not only that, Eddie, I mean, if you didn't know anything about turkey hunting, nobody would tell you anything about turkey hunting. If somebody knew about turkey hunting, how to do it, they wouldn't even talk to you hardly back in the day.
The only thing you could hope for, if you were the grandson of one of them old-timey turkey hunters,
then
I don't know if he was too crazy about telling you a whole lot. And, man, it was very secret with it. I mean, they didn't want to teach nobody about turkeys. But, you know, Mike, you know, we were blessed, and me and you have opportunity. We seen the turkeys kind of explode here in Alabama, and they kind of had gone downhill a little bit. I believe they're coming back some, though. But we seen the glory years of it, without a doubt.
Oh, no.
But,
no question.
But, you know, right now I'm going to say it's turkeys throughout Alabama. Back when I was a young boy, and which that was a long time ago, they were just turkeys in just isolated areas, and it wasn't every area didn't have turkeys.
That's right.
But now, pretty much, just about if you got a little bit of hardwoods, and you know they've done good in the pines too. But if you got a little hardwoods, you're gonna have turkeys right now. You may not have a bunch of them, but you're gonna have a few turkeys.
You know, that brings up something. I remember you telling me, we hunted together, I don't know what was it, 10, 12, 15 years ago, however long ago it was, and you were telling me that the turkeys around your house, around Greenville, there wasn't many turkeys at that time. I mean
Evergreen.
Y'all had had them, but then they had just disappeared pretty much. You didn't have much. So how is it today compared to?
Well, and we're talking about Conecuh County, and that's in Evergreen. That's my home state.
Evergreen, okay.
And but you know, basically, I'm gonna say it's got a lot better in the last 3 years. It started declining back when me and you were hunting, and I was talking about it.
Right.
And I think it was due to we had a lot of predators. You know, trapping hadn't been long. Guys had quit, you know, trying to catch coyotes and foxes and
coons
and coons for sure. And because you know back then a big coon was bringing somebody like $25, so it was well worth getting out. You know, and you catch, you know, five or six in a day. And a lot of guys were doing that. Well, right now, you can't get nobody to, you know, ain't nobody want them right now, especially the southern coons. And so I think, you know, that in general, but I think a lot of it to do is I think our habitat has disappeared in a lot of places. And, you know, it's just a lot of things like, rain. A lot of times when you have a real, real wet spring, when them little turkeys hatch off and they get wet, a lot of times they will not make it. They just, a turkey is a pretty hardy deal, but when they get that thermal hitting them, they just won't make it, Mike.
That's right.
I don't know how they make it in the woods. I don't know how they make it.
Hey, look,
in the woods.
We've talked about that and talked about everything is after those things. I mean, I don't know how they make it either. Any between the coons and the possums and the bobcats and the coyotes and the hawks and the owls and the eagles and now you got hogs everywhere. And then you then you got fire ants. I mean, they get in a fire ant bed, it's over with for them. Snakes are after the eggs. I mean, I don't know how in the world that if a turkey has 12 eggs, let's say, I don't know how hardly one or two of them comes out of it.
Well, I don't either, Mike. And you hit it right on the head right there. You know, I know the guys, you know, have an opportunity to shoot a few doves around, but you can take him. If you shoot a dove and don't put him in a bag immediately, if you just throw him on the ground or put him on a – I bet about putting him on a hay bale or something, you'll look around and he'll be covered up with fire ants. And
totally covered. You're right.
Oh, yeah, because they have eaten me up before when you grab a hold of them. And I think – that's why we ain't got no quail. I think when they first hatch off, you know, they're going to have a little bit of a smell, turkeys and quail. And I think it's a magnet. It's going to draw them in there. And I've done a podcast with Michael Waddell Tuesday. I was over there with him. And we were talking about fire ants. And he said, man, we killed three or four chicken snakes. And him and his wife got into raising some chickens, and they got into raising some turkeys, and said, we killed chicken snakes that would come in there and swallow the eggs, you know, out from under the hens when they're trying to hatch them.
Right.
So, you know, everything in the world is after an old turkey. So, man, when you do get lucky enough to kill one, you probably ought to kneel down and thank the good Lord for giving you the opportunity to be able to work that thing and be able to call to him. But, man, I'm excited about a lot going on. Man, I got a new box call. That's unreal the way it sounds. I'm looking forward to, which I hunted with it last year, and, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing a bunch of good feedback from a lot of these guys. I got some wood from Oregon. It was a 40-year-old where it was a main beam that come out of an old shed, a barn out there, and the guy cut me some lids, and boy, it's real hard. Some of it's called black limba,
Yeah.
And so anyhow, I started fooling with more of these box calls and these friction calls now. When me and you were coming along, we were just dead set on a mouth call. And there's so many people that, can use a mouth call, but yet can they win a turkey calling contest in the woods with one? Most of the time, you try to compete in a contest to try to for the judges, for man-made judges, and try to beat them. But the main judge is that judge in the woods out there.
You're right.
And nine times out of ten, myself too, if somebody picks a mouth call up over there and go to calling on it about 100 yards from you, you'll say, oh, that's somebody trying to learn how to run a mouth call. Where if they pick an old box call up, and you ain't got to have no skill to make that sound, and a good friction call, it's a true turkey sound. And hey, that might be one of the reasons now that we got it's not as many turkey gobblers in the wood, but I think with the Game and Fish Department, they've done a good job, and I think a pretty good job, and they've let a lot of the breeding get done before the season comes in. And normally, if an old gobbler breeds a hen one time, her eggs are supposed to be fertile, even though she might lay a dozen eggs and they get busted up with a coon, and then she goes back and relays another dozen. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be fertile too.
Yep.
So that's good Lord looking at their mother nature right there and taking care of us. So
that's right.
A lot of these things that I've learned over the years, and one thing that I would have to say, and I know I'm talking fast.
You're getting ready to catch a plane. I understand.
But what I want to do is I want y'all to call me back, and maybe y'all give a chance to some guys can come in there, and maybe they can email you some questions that they would like to ask me. And what I'm reaching over here and getting a call right here. One of my favorite things to do, I'm going to get a mouth call, and one of my favorite things to do. Is to run two calls at the same time. And some of their listeners out there, if you will learn to run multiple calls, there being a slate call or a friction type call or a box call and a mouth call, you're going to be so much ahead of the ball game. Or, where me and you, when we were hunting together, we both call.
That's right.
Or get you a buddy and both of y'all call. And what you want is something that makes two different hen sounds completely. And that's a good thing about, as a human, don't none of us running a call, mouth call, or whatever sound the same. And that's the same true as a wild hen. Ain't none of them sound the same.
You're
so
right.
Don't worry about being a world champion. You ain't got to be a world champion to go out and be successful. But get you some calls, and where your success comes in from is you gain confidence and you get out there and you practice these calls. I think the more you learn to run calls, don't get one and go out and practice with it one night and go turkey hunting. Get you and spend some time with it and get where you've got that confidence, and then you're going to be successful in the turkey woods.
Eddie, right before we let you go, I know you got to catch a plane. Where can people buy your calls around Mobile?
Well, you got McCoy's right there, and then you got Dale Quince up there, and then you got Marcia and me up there. Well, Mike Eubanks and them boys up there, they got a gift shop that's got plenty of calls. You can go to Bayman Ed at Outdoors Addiction, and we got them around and about, and actually we got some at Campbell's Hardware right there. That's in Foley, ain't
right.
that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, we got some calls there, so we got us some good calls around, and if you can't find none, you can go to Eddie Salter Game Calls, and that's a direct shot to me and on the internet, and we'll get you fixed up. But check you with your local dealers, and I hope that y'all can give me a call at another time.
We will. All right, go catch your plane, kill your grandson a turkey, and we'll talk to you next week or soon.
There he goes, the turkey man, Eddie Salter. We're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We'll be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward, a little lower octane than the turkey man, Eddie Salter.
Yeah. Eddie was a little fired up. He had to catch a plane.
Yeah, he's up. Heading out. Yeah, like I said, I've been here, and I didn't even get a chance. Maybe next time we get him on to see if he's going after Osceola's with him or Eastern's, because people say, well, I'll be going to Florida. You know that line's on down there. Like, if you're hunting, if you're hunting north of like Alachua County, some great turkey hunting in Florida there. A buddy of ours, Jake, who comes on the show with us, he has, but those are Easterns.
Yeah.
It's a great turkey hunting.
You had the line up a while ago on the map, and that was, it looked like it was above Gainesville, I believe.
Yeah, well, okay, so that's, and we could have, you know, we get somebody in and have the discussion, because they're back and forth on what is the actual.
Right.
And, you know, when we went last year, you know, looking at the pictures, out of the three of us went, we killed three Osceolas.
Yeah.
Okay, we're in Osceola country. We're deep enough. We're just north of Orlando. It's not an area that showed to be on the line. It's below the line.
Yeah, definitely Osceola.
But the bird I killed was as Osceola as it gets. I mean, the black wings, everything else about Osceola.
Yeah.
It was 4 pounds lighter, 3 pounds lighter than another one of our buddies in the group, you know, all these guys. He killed one that was 4 pounds bigger and showed some Osceola stuff, but dang it, Mike, it showed some Eastern in it. Yeah. But it was in the Osceola range, wasn't even in the, because there's a line, if you look at this, like where it becomes, you know, and how do you know? Yeah, you have to have a mix zone. You have to have a pure mix and then pure again, right? Because they don't just go, I'm an Osceola and I'm not crossing the highway, whatever.
No.
You know, I've often thought about that too, with like the different rut timing in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
Like how we talk about, you know, where I am in Western Mobile County, strangely enough, my deer rut like I was in the Black Belt.
Right.
But north of me, they're rutting later than me. Where that line is, where they decide, well, we're going to quit doing this mid-January rut, and we're going to rut in February. I don't know where that line is, right? So same thing on these turkeys. There has to be – there's not a place where the Osceolas go, well, we don't go any further. You see the sign there. It says Easterns, you know. So I don't know. But even out of the three we killed, I mean, it was almost like – mine was just like, even the guy was like, that's 100%. Like, if I had to paint you a picture of Osceola, that's Osceola. The other guy's one was like 80%. You had to really pick to say it's not Osceola. And then the third one – was kind of, but I don't pull the genetics. I don't know if it's half and half, but it was a lot bigger and had some things that looked like an Eastern to me. Yeah. But I'm no expert on
Well, did your guide say that they do kill some Easterns down there?
He does not. No, there's Osceolas. Now,
they're all Osceolas.
Well, and here's the thing. I liked our guide. I like the guy. But if I'm him too, I'm going to say every one of them is Osceola.
Oh, there's no question. You're right.
You know, like, I think we were talking, it was... I don't think it was on the air, but it was during one of the breaks in last week's show when I was talking to Steve Barnett. I said, if we could only get the scientists to reclassify birds down here in South Alabama as a different subspecies, I could quit this radio job and guide. Because Osceola's, you're going to pay for them.
That's right.
Because it's the only place to get, I mean, you think about the other, inside the United States subspecies, the amount of area. You can say Easterns, obviously, tons of
Eastern. I mean, you go from anywhere. Canada to,
right, anywhere. Here. Right.
Everything in between.
But then even go, well, Rios. There's a whole bunch of area that Rios are in. And Miriam's, there's, even though that's farther away from home, there's still a whole bunch of area to get.
Area, yeah, right.
Osceola, it's this line, like we're talking Alachua County, Gainesville, south of wherever. And that's it.
Yeah.
And they know it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like my guide. I like our experience. I'll go back with them. But it's considerably more for, you know, and I've never gone on another turkey, guided turkey hunt in my life other than that one.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of money compared to, like, they just, because they know what they got. So all I need is us to have some biologists tell us it's the South Alabamians, Galavanapo South Alabamians or whatever we get. And then we can have people come in to hunt this subspecies. What do you think?
I think you're right.
Then we can just charge.
Maybe we need to get some oscillated turkeys up here from Mexico and breed them with the Eastern and have this Eastern oscillated.
I'm
there
in.
You go.
And that's and the only place you can kill them is right here.
On your place.
Yeah, and then I can retire.
Yeah.
It's,
quick.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like I said, we'll talk about a friend of mine did this oscillated hunt. Get him on the show soon.
That's going to be interesting.
Those are, they're just, what an incredible turkey.
Yeah.
I mean, and to think, you know, you and I were talking about it off air. You know, you go look at, if you look at, now for those of us who are turkey freaks, we can look at a picture and go, oh, that's an Osceola, that's an Eastern. Oh, look, that's a Merriam's, that's a Rio. They all, we can pick them out. But if somebody doesn't see turkeys all the time, they all kind of look like.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at right an Osceola and an Eastern, you're going to have to really kind of look
right
to see the difference there.
And if they're not in strut and they're folded down, I mean, you could think of Merriam's as a Rio. Or
right.
Like even, you know, and people who don't hunt could ride by and say, yeah, they're all just the same turkey.
Yeah.
Except for dang oscillated. That is like they are so distinct and different, but they're
it's
they're
like
cool.
They bred with a peacock and a parrot,
something I don't know what's going down in the Yucatan, but that stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. You and Eddie were talking, and he was talking about going with his grandson at 7. Can't imagine that. He's killed 4 turkeys at 7 years old.
I think Dylan was about the same.
I didn't go on my first turkey hunt till I was probably 15.
Yeah.
Dad and one of his friends took me I was probably 15 years old, went on my first turkey hunt. And I started thinking, I was going to ask Eddie, but we can ask him another time. How old were you on your first turkey hunt?
I was probably about 23.
Okay.
Maybe 21, 22, 23, somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe 20. I don't know. Right. I was in my 20s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I was hunting up.
You weren't 7.
I was. No. I had nobody to take me.
Right.
You know, and I'm telling you, back in the day,
Nobody
would tell you anything about turkey hunting. I mean, when Ben Roger Lee came out with little cassette tapes that you could play, man, that was a game changer. I mean, he taught you a little bit about turkeys, you know.
Yep.
And so did Will Primos. They came out with a cassette tape. And everywhere I went, every time I went turkey hunting, I was listening to those cassette tapes, you know, to try to learn some little something about turkey hunting. So I had nobody to teach me or tell me anything about turkey hunting. My first turkey that I killed, I should have never killed that thing. I mean, it was unbelievable, you know? I mean, I'll tell it to you real quick. We got just a couple minutes. I go on my first turkey hunt. I'm up in Dayton, Alabama.
Okay.
Jimmy Delaney owns land now, but back then some other people owned it. And, of course, they let me out. Some friends of mine let me out. I'm by myself. I got a turkey call, you know. And I go in the woods and don't see anything. I don't hear anything. I look out in the field, and there's a tree out in the middle of a field. And I look, and I said, well, that's a turkey out there by that tree. So I just got back in the woods a little bit, and I called. And the turkey came. I mean, he was coming. And I was behind a bush. I didn't know to set up behind a tree and, you know, where I could see something coming. Well, he got up in front of a bush.
So you had a bush between you and the turkey.
Yeah. And the bush was like 5 feet from me. And I'm just sitting there and waiting. He's going to come around. I'm going to shoot him or something. And nothing happens. And I just jump up and go around the bush. And there he is. He looks at me like,
he was probably more shocked than you.
And I shot and killed him, and it was a Jake. You know, I didn't even.
It was a turkey.
If it had been a hen, it'd have been a dead hen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, back, I knew nothing about turkey hunting. I'm telling you.
It
was just a turkey, and I shot it.
That's what I'm getting at. I wonder what Eddie's is, you know, his story, too. I mean, we first get into it. I've told you before, my first, and it's, Lord knows it's only taken me, and I probably still hadn't learned the lesson, it's probably taken me 30 years plus to learn this. My first turkey.
Still learning, John. I'm still learning.
100%. My first turkey was when I was on my knees. What was I doing? I was getting up to go.
Yeah.
Right? So I'd been turkey hunting for, I think, that first year I turkey on my own. I kind of learning. Like I said, I was taken when I was 15 one time, maybe twice, and then that was it. Which, I mean, it was amazing. Those hunts, I saw gobblers and stuff, just didn't know what to do. But on my own, did the old, well, he's not coming.
Yeah.
I got to get up and go.
Yep. He shut up, so I know he went the other way.
Correct.
It's time to go.
Yeah, instead of going, okay, that bird's about to finish, what we know now. But at that age, I was like, okay, well, he's not calling. I got to get up and go somewhere else. And I had moved up to my knees, to get up and get myself up when I was looking at him coming around the corner of a tree and did the same snap, shot him, killed him.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sitting on my knees trying to grab my guns down on the in the leaves with my hand on it, trying to pick it up and get it to my shoulder and shoot him.
Yeah. And that's hard to do.
Very hard to do.
It's hard to beat that turkey.
You talking about dumb luck?
Yeah.
You know why? Because I think he was as shocked to see me as I was to see
him. Well,
that's
that first turkey that I killed.
He was like, what the heck?
I can see that turkey looking up at me right now as I round that bush to kill him.
Yeah. I mean, you have these hunts, you know, through the years and all the turkeys killed. And you think about the perfect scenario, and I did this right and all that. But to think back the reality of some of these early hunts where it's like, there he is.
Yeah.
I got to shoot him. You know, I got to shoot him. So, I mean, it's and it is true that you can learn a lot more right now than we could back then. I mean, I had more advantage than you, you know, age-wise and all that. But today, to be able to—
videos out and people, you know, you could—
the Primos videos where, I mean, if we could— we get on our bicycles and ride to the movie. So I forget which one it was, movie gallery or something as a kid. And we'd rent any Primos that came out. Yeah. The truth of it could be the truth about whatever. We had that video and we watched it. And we had to ride it back on the bicycles to go take it back in before the movie was due. You kids probably don't know that, but you would rent movies and then you would have to take them back. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I got those. That's how
things have changed, Sean.
A little bit. All right. Coming right back. A lot has stayed the same, too, though. We'll come right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have y'all along. And maybe we'll save the story I just heard from Mike during the break for a turkey hunting stories episode, because that one was not Mike, but somebody he had talked to. Possibly that I've used this. Kids, hold your ears closed. The damnedest turkey hunting story I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you done spoiled it now. I guess I'm going to have to tell it.
I mean, you would do it today, or do we save it?
Oh, let's go ahead and do it. Spit it out.
Okay. Y'all get this one here. Okay.
Yeah, so, I had a sporting goods store, okay? So everybody come in, they all, you know, buying calls, and we all sit around and tell stories and all this. Well, this friend of mine and me come in all the time. We talk all the time, and he was telling me his story about he went hunting, and he caught a turkey.
Caught
a turkey.
You didn't say called.
No, caught.
C-A-U-G-H-T.
Yeah. Now, I can't remember. We're talking about 40-something years ago, okay?
Caught a turkey.
He was hunting, and he didn't think the turkey was coming or something. And it's kind of like my bush story, you know, where it jumped up and he's behind the bush.
Right.
Well, he gets up. Somehow, the turkey stand there. He jumps on the turkey. He catches the turkey.
So he tackles the turkey.
And this isn't a small guy. And this is a pretty good, pretty healthy guy. And he catches the turkey. And I don't know how.
First of all, at that point, too, I mean, how you shoot a load of fives through a turkey's head, and go try to pick him up before he's done.
He's
going to spur the spray. Even though his head has been evaporated, he's going to spur you to death.
Yes.
So this one has not been shot. Live turkey.
It hadn't been shot. It's a live turkey. And somehow he catches the turkey. And back then, you know, people didn't have Suburbans or anything. Everybody had, you know, hunted. A lot of them had station wagons.
Station wagons, right?
Yeah. People now, you say, what's a station wagon? Mm-hmm. They don't have a clue. But anyway, so he puts it in a station wagon, and he takes it back up to the hunting camp, you know, and everybody's saying, well, yeah, I killed this one, I killed this one. And he says, well, I got one live in my car.
In the station wagon.
In the station wagon. Yeah,
the part I'm wondering about, too, is you catch it, and then I guess you bear hug it or whatever you do, and then you turn it loose in the station wagon, and now you're driving the station wagon with the live gobbler in the station wagon.
Well, I don't know if he hog-tied him. I don't know whether he shut his mouth with tape, or I don't know what he did. I have no idea.
Can you imagine passing that person down the road? You're riding down the highway.
Yeah.
You look over, and you see a guy driving, and then there's a turkey running around the station wagon.
But anyway, I wish now, and hey, look, I probably ask him all those questions back then.
Right. But it's 40 years
but
ago, yeah.
It's 40-something years ago, and I can't remember. And anyway, you know, this guy was a great guy. He really was, and a big storyteller. And I'm thinking, well, here's another one of his stories, and I'm getting ready to find out he's been telling me all these stories, and they've been lying, mm-hmm. you know? Well, I knew everybody was in that club. So I asked a couple of them about the live turkey. He said, yeah, he did. He came up there in that station wagon. He had a live gobbler in the back of that station wagon. So it was a true story.
It's the best dang turkey story I think I've ever yeah. heard in my life. The tackling is one thing. And for me, I don't know, I'm focused on you're in the station wagon with the live turkey.
Like I said, I don't know if he tied him up or what he did. I have no idea. But even if he tied him up, you know that turkey's going crazy in the back of his station wagon.
It's still the damnedest thing. Think about trying to tie one that you've shot.
Yeah.
Before he's done.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can't.
So yeah. It's a heck of a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Before we wrap up too, and we'll talk more on next week's show. But I want to pick your brain too, because got to tell you, you talk about poison on turkeys, is my friend right here. And I know for him, his favorite call is patience.
Yep.
But give me something. Is there something different you do calling at the beginning of season than you do at the end? Do you change anything?
Yeah, I do. I use that chatterbox.
Yeah, he's got these.
You know, the fighting.
And the ones are. But they're like, if y'all are picturing this, it's the push button yelper.
Push button yelper.
They'll sell them as like an easy yelper.
That's right. You know, when the season opened, even during back years
when
ago.
When it opened earlier, yeah.
The 15th of mm-hmm. March, and even the youth season the week before that, that fight and purr was unbelievable how
and
good
take,
it was.
And he takes these, so they're yelper boxes, they're yes. push button yelper boxes, but instead of making them a yelp, he uses them as a purr.
Yeah, as
and
a
he's
purr.
Got one in each
fighting,
hand.
You know, where it looks like, I mean, it sounds like two gobblers fighting. And earlier in the season, they're doing their dominancy. Mm-hmm. Which one's the most dominant? And they're fighting just like bucks fight, you know?
And y'all, not only is this just interesting, it's a deadly technique Mike uses, because you have that bird that'll gobble back at you all morning, but he's not. He's with hens. He's not coming any further than those hens are coming. Unless you do this.
That's right. And hey, look, I've had them come running to me.
Leave hens.
Yes.
Leave hens to come
running to me. But here's the thing. When you start opening the season around the 25th of March.
Yeah, a lot of that's been worked out.
You know, the first week or so, that seems like it works a little bit. Okay. It does mm-hmm. okay. But then you start getting in April,
But that's
use it as a yepper box.
Yeah, as people listen today, though, thinking about something they're going to do at the opening of season coming up on the 25th, maybe something else to put in your
yes.
arsenal to try there on that dang. Anybody who hunts turkeys knows that gobbler that he'll give you every courtesy gobble in the world. He'll make you, but he ain't coming. If the hens aren't coming, he's not coming.
That's right.
But this technique,
it works. I mean, it's, like I say, earlier in the season, it definitely works.
And so just go by, I mean, and I know there's different manufacturers. I don't know which ones you use. Is it Nightingales?
Quaker Boy, I think is the ones that I'm using.
But they're y'all seen them before. They're the
yeah.
push-button yelpers.
Push button. Yeah.
And nice thing is you can go on YouTube right now and listen to Fight and Purr.
Yep.
And just learn how to do it.
That's right. But out of all the calls, you were right up front, John. Out of all the calls I have, patience is my best call.
The most patient turkey hunter yes. I know, guaranteed. That's why he's deadly.
We'll talk about that
yep.
for the next month.
Yeah.
Patience.
Yeah. We'll work some fishing in the conversation over the next month and a half, but we're going to talk a lot of turkeys.
Yep.
That's what we do around here. All right. Y'all have a great one. We'll do it again next week.